This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
I'm Madeline Brand. Alex, maybe you've heard of rainbow parties.
Well, all I can say is this next story has some sensitive material.
It does. And rainbow parties, maybe they exist, maybe they don't, but they've been bandied about in the media for some time. They're oral sex parties for teens. In the last several years, the media have reported that teens are having a lot of oral sex as a way to maintain their virginity. Well, a new national study debunks that. Rachel Jones of the Guttmacher Institute is one of the authors of the study, and she's here now. And Rachel, there's a perception out there that teens are having oral sex as a way to avoid intercourse, having intercourse. And that's not what you found.
Right. That's not what we found. So contrary to popular perception, our study suggests that large numbers of teens are not substituting oral or anal sex for vaginal intercourse.
So they are just going ahead and having sex.
Well, half of teens are having sex. We found in our study, again, looking at adolescents between the ages of 15 and 19, half of them had engaged in vaginal intercourse, and a slightly higher proportion, 55%, had engaged in oral sex.
Those are the same ones that were having vaginal sex?
That includes all adolescents, whether they've had vaginal sex or not. If you separate it out, among teens who have had vaginal sex, the overwhelming majority, 87%, have had oral sex. If you look at teens who haven't had vaginal sex, 23% have had oral sex.
So a quarter of teens have had?
A quarter of virgins. A quarter of teens who have not had vaginal sex have had oral sex.
I see.
And it does, another thing that came out of our study is that the overwhelming majority of teens who have had vaginal sex, within 6 months of having their first experience of vaginal sex, have had oral sex.
So, I don't know, are parents listening to this, let's say, should they take comfort in this or not?
Well, I guess that depends on the parent, because it seems like the main message that comes out of this is that we need to give teens a whole range of information about sex and sexual activity and ways to protect themselves from not just pregnancy, but from STIs. Again, because oral sex does pose some risk of STIs, as does vaginal intercourse. And then, of course, another finding from our study is that 1 in 10 adolescents is engaging in anal sex. And when you focus on teens who have had vaginal sex, we found that 20%, or 1 in 5 teens, have engaged in anal intercourse. And so, again, we need to make sure that teens are getting information so that they can protect themselves from STIs and from HIV in particular.
STIs being sexually transmitted infections.
Right.
The National Abstinence Education Association has greeted your study by saying, well, what this means is that we need to encourage teens to delay all forms of sexual activity. What do you think needs to be done in terms of sex ed?
Well, again, the main message for us that seems to come out of this study is that we need to talk to teens about all different types, the whole range of sexual activities that they may be engaging in and how to protect themselves, again, from sexually transmitted infections and from pregnancy.
But what about abstinence?
Well, certainly teens need to be told about abstinence, what it is, strategies that they can engage in to delay sexual intercourse until they're ready to have sex. But certainly we can't support a message that tells teens abstinence is the only strategy that's out there to avoid these types of risks.
Rachel Jones is with the Guttmacher Institute, and we've been talking about their new study that debunks the idea that teens engage in oral sex as a way to avoid intercourse. Rachel Jones, thank you for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.